welcome to Why Does My Child Hate Me, the podcast where we explain why your child hates you. With me, Athena Kablenu.
And me, Layla Lawson.
So why does your child hate you this week?
Because I offered her ice cream. I said, oh, if you eat your dinner, you get ice cream. But obviously I lied. There's never ice cream, ever. Yeah. And then she ate a percentage of her dinner. And then she said, I want ice cream. And I said, oh, you can have it tomorrow. and then she started screaming. And she said, but I want ice cream. And I said, yeah, you can have it tomorrow. Because obviously, there's always a tomorrow. I wasn't lying. Yeah. I wasn't lying. But she took that to be a lie. And she, obviously, my dishonesty was unacceptable to her, so she had a tantrum.
I think I'm on her side this time. I think she has a reason. You gave her something, man.
I reach for the you'll get ice cream if you do this in when I just need to. I just needed us to do finish up her dinner. I was leaving the house. I had to go to a show. I just said, I need you to eat your dinner so the sitter can come and put you into bed. And so I offered her ice cream. And I don't advocate lying. No, I do advocate it. We have things to do.
I remember, do you know what Sook's done recently? She went into my bedroom and she has her own bedroom, but she prefers to destroy mine because what's the fun of destroying her own room? And she went in and pulled out all my clothes from all the wardrobes, took out all my makeup and started pouring it. And I've got white furniture, so I've got white dressing table, white everything. Poured all my foundation all over everything onto the carpet. And so, you know what I'm saying? If you can't hear anything, then be very alarmed. Walked in, I'm like, dear God, please, dear God, please, dear God, please. And then I get in there and she's sitting inside my wardrobe and she's full of makeup. You know, she's pulled out all the clothes and
can
she's
I ask,
like,
was it Halloween? Was she dressing up?
No, this was. I wish she was. She's sitting in the wardrobe. And then I'm like, Suki, she's like, hi, mommy, come in.
Like, come in. Don't get
your own room. Yeah, come in. And I'm like, no, that's not what we're supposed to do. And she was so, they've destroyed something, but they are so proud of themselves that at this point, I'm either going to really traumatize you because I'm going to not react to this and just shut down all your happiness right now, or I have to take 17 breaths and say, let's go wash your hands. So I had to do that because then if I made her tantrum, which is what would have happened, the makeup would have gone into, even though at this point it was everywhere, I had to scrub everything down. But that was a very, why do you hate me? What did I do?
Yeah, you didn't deserve that.
I didn't.
I think there needs to be social services for parents. They need to take us away. We need a safe house.
Yeah, we need a helpline. Yeah. Hello. My kid's shouting at me for no reason. This happens a lot in my house. I get shouted at by my 2-year-old.
Layla, shall we introduce the next guest?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do that. So he is a filmmaker, he's a producer, he's a stand-up comedian, and he's had the snip. He's had a vasectomy. I don't know if he puts on his LinkedIn like that, but his name's just... Could you imagine? And that yes, I have references. Like, yes, he has indeed had the snip. but he's chosen not to have children, and I think that's really interesting, especially because we had children inflicted on to us. it was like when you go to a supermarket and they put something in the basket that you never asked for, like that.
We caught children.
Of all the things we could have caught. we caught children. So yeah, he's my pal Stuart Laws, and I think I'd love to chat to him about that. Well, welcome to Why Does My Child Hate Me, Stuart Laws.
Hello. The only unexpected thing in my bagging area is a sutured vas deferens.
Does it scar?
They do the incision on the seam. We know the seam on the scrotum, right?
I can't. I'm going to plead virginity. No idea.
Next time
never seen one in my life.
Scrotum, have a close up look at the seam.
Find the seam.
Thanks for coming. So thank you. So we invited you onto the podcast because our podcast is called Why Does My Child Hate Me? And you knew that your children would hate you, so you decided not to have any.
Yeah.
We both had unplanned children, which is interesting. I'm going to ask you a question straight up, Stu. Was there ever a scare? Did you get scared into it? Was there a scare that made you think, oh my God, I better do, you know?
There have been scares, but no major scares ever. What finally prompted me into getting a vasectomy was being in my mid-30s and being like, I feel comfortable that I'm not going to change my mind now. Like, it's been there for 15 years. I think it's okay to do it. And I felt like there was a societal pressure to not do it before your mid-30s, because it feels like that's when you're of an age where you can make those sort of decisions and not be... If you outlive Jesus, you're quite wise.
That's a good point. You're quite open about it, which I really like, because I think people should discuss this more to sort of normalise it. How do people respond when you tell them you've had a vasectomy?
My friends say constantly, oh, have you had a vasectomy, Stuart? You don't mention it very much. Things like that. It does shock some people, and like I have a joke in my stand-up in terms of talking about the procedure. Initially I said a lot of people don't know what a vasectomy means. If you don't know, a vasectomy means I hate your children and wish they never existed. And that genuinely has been the vibe I've had from some people where I've said that, and they've looked at me like, what, but I've just had a child, but so this means you hate my little child?
And how do you feel about children? I think just to establish and be ask a question outright, how do you feel about kids?
I like children. I do like children in the same, but I like children in the same way like that I like pets, in that they're like real fun to just play around with, have a bit of a laugh with, teach them some new skills that are going to then wind up their owners and then leave and go home and have a nice clean home where I can do what I like.
And I think that's really cool. I think a lot of people don't, because like Athena said, we both had unplanned children, and I've had friends who have gone on to fall pregnant. And one thing that I always say is any reason that makes you not want to have a child is valid enough to not have a child.
No, I think that is really important. I spent a long time sort of viewing it as having to find justifiable reasons. Like in my head I was like, oh, it's not just enough to not want kids. And like, I think when I first in my early 20s sort of did have that view, but then I was in a relationship with someone where they did want kids, we knew from an early point, and I was like, spent that time being like, okay, well, I will hopefully change my mind. And we kept chatting about it, we kept it an open discussion, and it came a point where I just realized that wasn't gonna change. But I think during those years, I sort of had convinced myself that not wanting kids was like a negative position. It wasn't, whereas actually it's a neutral position. And it took a little while for me to sort of readjust and be like, oh yeah, it's fine to not want kids and to not have to be like, and here's the reasons. Oh, I'm scared of being a dad, or, oh, I don't know if I'll be able to afford it, or, oh, I all these sort of classic reasons. And there's like an assumption that maybe there's some like trauma issues or things like that that are pushing you away from it. But people get to say that they want to have kids and not have to justify it, and so it should be the same for the reverse.
I believe it shouldn't be I want to have kids, it should be I'm qualified to have them. Because lots of people going, oh, I want a child, but you might as well run around and say, I want to fly a jumbo jet. Like, we all want to do things, but like it's like you can't just because it's like this kind of fairly natural thing that happens because of evolution and biology doesn't mean that you're qualified to do it. Like, you know, and what I compare it to is like the adoption process. Like, if anyone knows the adoption process, what you have to go through is like, well, the minute, because a friend of mine's going through it, and the minute she started talking about what you have to do, I was like, I could never do this. You know, they talk to your parents, their parents' parents, they get a Ouija board out, talk to their parents' parents' parents. And I wish I'm exaggerating, but it is really intense. They talk to your ex-boyfriends, half of them, I don't remember their names. You know what I mean? I could not fill in that form. Steve,
maybe, or no, was it Chris? I forget which order. So imagine me, they can't give me a child. So, and that's because they, you know, adopt people who run those agencies, they're qualified in understanding what it takes to raise a child, and their safeguarding practice means they have to know these things for that child to be guaranteed, or as much as you can, it's going to be parented well. And yet you've got people running around playing with their Barbies saying, yeah, I'm going to be a parent one day. And it's like, you haven't gone through that due process, because we societally just say, oh, if you want kids or you don't want kids, or if you want kids, that's a decision you make, as opposed to a decision you deserve. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always fascinated by that, of the amount of pushback and the you'll change your mindness to people who don't want to have children. And there is a part of me that just thinks it absolutely should be the other way. And if someone's like, I want to have kids, there should be a lot of pushback to sort of, because it's the only decision really in your life that is irreversible. You can't not be a parent after becoming a parent, even if you know, were to give the child up for adoption or anything, you'd still be a parent. And I'm surprised about how casual society is about that sort of decision making.
Can you tell us a bit about like what you can do in your life that you're very aware that you can do and enjoy because you've made that decision not to have children? Make me jealous is what I'm saying. Make me incredibly jealous right now.
Well, I guess I know that there are ways of making everything work, and you can achieve lots and lots of different things and all different career stuff. So I know that it's not impossible to achieve this. But for example, my life over the next 2-3 months will be going to Edinburgh for a month, maybe popping back to do to Wales to do a festival, popping back to London to watch a football game. Then in September is sort of going to Cornwall for a week, doing some gigs around the country, going to Mumbai for 12 days for filming, back then to LA, then back to London. And you just go, that is like something that if I had to also work out childcare, is like I would have to really like look at each of those projects and be like, is that actually worth my time? Is that worth the money that's coming back for it? And it's difficult to say yes to things if you have something in your life that you have to look after like that. And I Athena, you I guess are someone who is making that work.
I'm absolutely not making it work. I'll give you an example. On the last weekend, Tesco's messed up her delivery, so we had to go and do a click and collect. I know, very middle class, I've made it, but anyway. Right. Delivery didn't come. Had to click and collect. The drama we had in our household trying to figure out what we do for me to go away for 15 minutes to pick up some bloody food, you know, and you know, and if, and I'm trying to remember what the issue was. I think the other half wanted to play golf or something. I forget, but which makes him sound terrible, and so it should, because it is. But it just the smallest thing can disrupt your day, and it is a challenge. And I am almost certainly not making it work, but what I am doing is doing enough to kind of keep the lights on.
Yeah.
Everything that is great that comes with a time requirement, like you've got to be away for 3 days. In the past, that would be like, yes, 3 days, hotel breakfast, hospitality. And now it just makes, I can't enjoy it. I can't enjoy that side of the job anymore. It makes me, I go into a cold sweat every time I get an availability check. And it's like, are you available for more than 1 day? And so just that, taking that excitement out of a job that you love is significant, you know? Everything becomes a conversation, a debate, and a negotiation, and sometimes something that you can't do. So yeah, well, very envious right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess part of that debate though, and something that gets thrown at that childless living sort of lifestyle is, oh, it's just a selfish thing. And obviously there is probably an element of that, and I like to sort of have the freedom and to not be tied down to certain things. And there is a financial side to it as well, of not having to worry about that side of things, and it is expensive to raise a kid.
See, I don't think you should even have to justify it. I think if I want to live without a child, I want to live without a child. And it's like, so what if I want to go home and starfish without hearing a little voice going, mummy, 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 then that's what I want to do with my time and my shoes that I have to walk in by myself, you know? Like I say to people all the time, listen, if you don't want them, be the bougie aunt that gets to bring in all the expensive gifts because the parents aren't buying new fucking Jordans every other week because what the heck? You play that part, do that, hand somebody their kid back at the end of the day, like you said. That's, you know, a full enough life as having kids is, and not everyone who has kids even wants them. So people need to mind their own business.
Yeah. I agree. And the idea of being selfish because you don't want children, like, I think selfishness is actually just thinking if you want children, you can have them and still live your old life. Just there's a lot of like that entitlement to being a parent is just as much as an act of selfishness. And I had to reconcile myself quite early on into being a parent that I would not be the version of myself that I would like to be. Like I used to train, that's gone. I had a little two-pack going on. Pfft, it's not that anymore. Just one, it's a one sack now, you know? And that, you know, if imagine 6 more months, I might have, you know, I just keep thinking about that. 6 more months, I could have, it would have been all right, you know? But such is life. And I don't lament that in any way. None of this is a lamentation. Like, I don't think, oh my God, you know, like, this is so hard, because as it happens, like, it was probably one of the best decisions I ever made to just kind of like have these children. But I acknowledge that if I didn't have them, oh my God, I'd be living my best life. Like, there's not any of the universe out there.
I said to Athena this morning, I was like, Athena, I have been up since 4 a.m. because my kid decided that she wanted a tuna fucking pasta. Tuna pasta at 4 in the morning. No word of a fucking lie.
Do you know what that's fuckery? This is why it's fuckery. If this is a hotel and you call the kitchen and you say, I want a tuna pasta, they'll be like, who are you talking to? Go back to bed.
Yeah. And she ate the tuna pasta. She ate a whole plate of tuna pasta at 5 o'clock this morning. And I'm sat there like, now I can't get back to sleep. I'm shattered. And I've got a whole day ahead of me. She's falling asleep straight after, the little asshole. and having a great day today, you know? Probably thinking, yay, had tuna for breakfast.
There were literally crackheads that you could be housing because they're like coming off the dope. And they wouldn't trouble you for that. They'd be like, you know what? I'll sweat it out, Layla. Is that his new house? Is that a crackhead? So, Stu, I wanted to talk about something. So, because Rob Delaney wrote an article in The Guardian, it was about a couple of years ago now, but I thought it was really interesting. His partner's had 4 children and he was like, enough. She's gone through it all. She's grown these children. She's pushed them out. And she's putting in chemicals or whatever, like, you know, as a woman, birth. Like, we think this is normal, but we pump ourselves sort of chemicals or we put like devices in us to stop ourselves getting pregnant. He was like, actually, this is on me, and you got a vasectomy. How do you feel about vasectomies becoming commonplace as like a form of birth control? And would you be the face of it? I'm pitching this.
I 100% believe that it should be mandatory vasectomies until we work out what's going on.
Because you can you reverse them?
You can technically. No, they say to think of it as irreversible, but it's a tube. They can rebuild your hips. Like, I'm pretty sure they can just reroute some sperm if they had to. I genuinely do think that more people who can have vasectomies, it should be a more commonplace thing, because even like I have friends who have got kids, don't want any more kids, but still have not had a vasectomy, and I'm like, what is wrong with you? You've got 3 kids, you don't want any more. That is the bare minimum. You should be straight away down the clinic getting your vas deferens burnt.
You can get like a red letter day vasectomy, and you can buy that for Christmas.
I genuinely think like mine was £500. I went private because it was like, I sort of actually just was like, I want to get it done quickly. I can try and dress it up as me trying to do my bit to sort of alleviate the pressure on the NHS. But partly I was like, if I do it private, I can get this done within 2 months. And if you go NHS, it will take, you know, over a year maybe. But like that, in my mind, is, if we're talking bare savings, I'm talking minimum £6,000-£7,000 a year I'm saving by not having that kid.
That is an underestimate.
Childcare is like 12 to 15 grand alone per year.
What?
Yeah. And that's just childcare. Then guess what? You've got to feed them, Stu. They eat.
Can you not just feed them breast milk for the first 12 years or something? And tuna bakes.
Then you've got like gymnastics classes.
Fuck.
You know? Well. Yeah, and it's, when I say gymnastics, we're not doing backflips. Yeah, it's very, I can't get across enough to how expensive maybe not for the first year because they're just little, they just lie on their backs, you know.
Well, no, I'm gonna interject, because when they're little, it's either formula and nappies. Formula is one tub for like £13. They go for about 6 tubs a month.
Yeah.
You know, and nappies, they do a lot of shits, man.
Well, if I was to be a dad, I would crack down on that. I'd be like, no way. You stop doing that. That is filthy.
That's a good question. Do you have opinions on like modern parenting and things that you see and think, oh God, those are really bad parents? Or do you feel you're not allowed to judge other parents because you've chosen not to be one?
I think genuinely my friends are a pretty healthy mix. And I know that, you know, there's a few of them that have had difficulty in conceiving or difficult sort of post birth and things like that. But like they're a pretty good mix. And some of them are like their kids are 10 now. But I think they're all genuinely pretty good parents. And I've never spotted anything where I'm like, oh, I would do that differently. It's always sort of like just impressed by how well they're doing it. Although, well, you know, some of them have had to move to Basingstoke, so, you know, they're not doing that well. Fucking Basingstoke.
On the flip side of that, have you ever seen any children that you thought you just need a punch in the neck? You do?
Is this what the podcast is about? Trying to lure me into saying something that will get me arrested?
Yes.
Look, I've said all the things that will get me arrested about my kid on here, so but you're worry not.
You're a parent, so you're allowed to say it. I'm just some sort of creepy guy who's had a vasectomy, so he doesn't now wants to punch kids.
Before I had kids, I was that person that thought kids were disgusting. I remember literally being in public and be like, why is your child doing that? You need to do something about it.
Actually, yeah,
now,
that's true.
Now I know that that parent's just tired and can't be bothered to deal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But at the time, I was very much like, that's so disgusting. Put a leash on it. You know, I was the absolute worst prior to having children, a child.
So I guess I can run a few things there. Like, I hate when, like, there's a cafe or something like that becomes like a weird creche situation and you're just sitting there and it's just constant screaming. You're just like, oh right, I didn't realize this was just bring your kids and just let them. I tell you what I really don't like is when you're just sitting in a cafe or something like that in public, just mind your own business, maybe doing a bit of work, whatever, and a child just wanders over to you and sort of like starts interacting some way, and they you hear the parents.
That's our kids.
The parents like, leave the nice man alone, and you're like, why don't you just come over and get your fucking kid so that I don't have to parent your kid.
Oh, that is my child to a T.
And they're such gawpers. They'll just gawp and then they'll try and touch your stuff. Yep, and it's just like, oh my God, it's just mortifying when they do that. The weird thing is, so I was never a yummy mummy baby chino parent.
Yeah.
And the reason being is the reason why they're screaming and running around is like, cafes are the worst environment for children. Like, they hate it. It's cramped. Mm. It's full of things they're not allowed to touch. They can't run around.
It's constant random like high pitched noises and like the steamer going or like, what, you know, it's stressful environment.
That is kind of like, you know, go to your yard, take you and your mummy friend and go to your house and drink Nescafe or buy a cafetiere for goodness sake. But yeah, if I was on my own, I'd go to like a quiet place maybe just for the walk. But cafes are I don't know how this culture started, this yummy mummy Muswell Hill, North London. Let's sit in a cafe and eat, drink lattes. Good. We got it out of him in the end, Layla, finally. Right,
and I've got another edgy opinion. I think the first 2 years, you shouldn't be allowed on a flight for more than an hour.
I'm not going to lie. I'm still very much like, I've been on one flight since having, no, I've been on a few flights since having Suki, and she's been on one flight with me. But again, before that, I used to be, whenever I saw a child, I'd be like, ugh, there's a kid on our flight. There's a kid on the flight, Pete's sake. And then you just sat there the whole time hoping that they didn't squeak.
Yeah. Well, I know it must be super stressful for everyone involved. But also, imagine you're the kid. Well, I know adults that are terrified of flying, find it super stressful. You're a kid, you don't understand what's happening. And suddenly the air pressure drops, your ears are going wild. I think it must be extremely stressful. I just feel like that would make people readjust their decision on whether or not to have kids if they knew they couldn't travel by air for a couple of years afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, as you might know, children under two
fly for free almost always.
And that's what if makes they don't me fly sick for free, well.
It's negligible. Yeah, so that's has to be in the in the Stuart Law's manifesto for the in the next general election. When you dress up as Count Binface or whatever identity you want to assume, that's got to be number one. Stuart, just so we got it on the record, can you tell us how old are you and how old were you when you got the snip snip?
I'm 38.
Or twist.
Well, what they did, they cut, crushed and burnt the old vast efferents when I was 35, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you were a woman, they'd have called you a geriatric parent at that age.
Yeah, they would have been like, yeah, you don't need to pay for it. We'll just do it for free.
Well, this is the interesting thing. Around the same time, a friend of mine had ovary issues and had to have one removed. And they asked to have the other one removed because it was going to basically affect that one as well later on. And it was like basically admitted to hospital for an emergency thing. And they refused to remove the other one, even though they were like, I don't want to have children. I would never want to have children. Can you please take it out because it's going to go bad at some point and that will just me coming back in for another procedure. And they refused to even have the conversation about it.
Really? No. I mean, I think that's appalling, taking away that kind of agency from a person only to have to operate on them later. And it speaks to the kind of patronizing way women are spoken to when it comes to parenting.
Yeah, whereas with me, I literally gave them the credit card details. It went through and then they went, cool, you'll be called in a week just to double check. And I thought that would be a chat where they'd go through like some of the emotional stuff, the sort of psychology things and everything. And they were just like, cool, so will you be able to be dropped off at the clinic? And I was like, yeah, cool, all right, well, you're booked in.
Wow, see, now I don't know how I feel about that, because they should at least be like, you know, like when you have to check, do your password twice to make sure you put the right password in, you know, like just to verify. It should be like that, but it's like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Like, even if it's just that question, like, are you sure?
I was absolutely prepared for that. And I had like, you know, I had the speech or like the different talking points prepared to be like, yep, I thought about this for a long time. I've, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it just never came up. So I was like, oh, that's wasted. I hope I get
booked for
a podcast.
Oh, he's a man. He knows what he wants. Yeah. He knows what's best.
We are very smart men.
One of the things that when we were talking about you coming on, etc., I was like, I want to know how old he was and if this was just to evade using contraception. Because, and I was like, if he was in his 20s when he done it, then I'm going to strongly believe this was because he didn't want to use contraception. But now that I've learned that you were 35 when you done it, then I believe that there was a lot more in-depth thought into it.
Thank you. I wish that I was an ilk where that sort of did go through my mind, that there was enough sex happening that I could be like, well, let's fucking sort this out so I can raw dog for the rest of my life. but it genuinely, I mean, I feel, I guess maybe having spent this long not wanting kids and having genuinely intense conversations and, you know, I did, after a relationship, that where she wanted kids and we broke up because of that, I did sort of go to therapy for like a few months and we'd like, and that was, I think weirdly she thought it might lead to me being like, oh, I think I do want kids, but it actually just made me for the first time properly be like, oh, it's okay to not want to have kids. And I'd sort of spent so long sort of punishing myself and viewing myself as like a villain for not wanting them and for not being able to convince myself to give this person what they wanted more than anything, that it, yeah, the thought of being able to bang somebody without a condom didn't really come into it.
I have one more question, and it's not even a nice question, but people probably ask you this, do you ever think about your old age? Now, I'm not raising carers, and if you see them, you wouldn't want these kids to care for you. I'm terrified about my old age. They're holding the pillow menacingly already, you know? But I do know, especially because of my relationship with my mum, like, I know what I do for her, and she didn't raise a carer, but I am caring for her because, you know, it's like, that's what you do. So do you think about that? Do you think about being elderly and not having young people around you, or you might have nieces and nephews, I don't know.
Well, I don't, my sister hasn't made a decision, but she seems to also not want to have children, but she's a tiny bit younger than me, so she has a little while longer, I guess, to make up her mind on that. But I have been in the situation where, so my dad was in care before he passed away, and what I would sort of take from that is that it's not having, I don't think his quality of life was improved very much by having some his kids coming and looking after him and checking on him, and there's all sorts of, you know, he was in such a way that I don't think it made much of a difference whether it was us or a care or something like that. I feel like in your old age, being the sort of person where you have friends and you're having the life that you wanted to lead is maybe going to be more important in how your retirement goes.
I think that's, sorry to interrupt, but I think community is a big thing. Like, you can't use family to replace community, especially, and your kids might hate you, like, in their adulthood.
I think that's great. You can't use family to replace community. And for me, I think, obviously, we'll jump forward 40 years and you can come and laugh at me when I'm sad and by myself. But I feel like that won't necessarily be the case. And even if it's, like, not the friends that I have now, which I've had friends since, you know, childhood friends that I see every week, and I think that is an important part for me. I don't think it will disappear, even if it is just me being friends with other people in the care home who are also talking about raw dogging constantly.
Stuart, thank you so much for joining us. It's been absolutely incredible. You have done a lot of educating me personally
about the seam on the scrotum.
About the seam on the scrotum, about professional raw dogging, about, you know, just great decision making.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was a pleasure. And let me know if you need a babysitter.
Oh, yes!
Don't you mention babysitting to a bunch of parents that need them, okay? You'll be booked up. Cancel all your LA gigs. Thank you.